a great week so far. Thank you for your faithfulness in this ministry. You know, I've been coming to this church ever since I've been involved in the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed, which has been 12 and a half years for me. And so every year it's been a blessing. And, you know, usually we'd come just for a day or like an afternoon, and we'd do 10 or 15, 20,000, you know, and get it done. And then I don't know if it was Brother Castle who had the great idea to do 150,000. Yeah, yeah. In fact, if I remember right, you invited him here to see it because his plan was, because he had already ordered to do 150,000 just for their church, which was from a ministry, if you guys remember this, it was from another ministry that you had to collate four parts for John and Romans, and he bought one stapler. And he told me, we talk about it all the time, it's like, I was way over my head. I had no clue what I was doing. And we understand that. So that first time, we actually did it at both churches. We did 100,000 there, 50,000 here, I think, or something like that. And so I think we've got it figured out now, you know. So it's good. Just the update you might find interesting is, if you remember that year, I brought two Bible college students with me. Brother Tyler was over in Bethel, and then Brother Elijah was here. And so the update is that he just took a church in the state of Washington. In fact, he just left this past week. And so he was on staff at our church for several years as our youth pastor, but he took a church there. So you never know what happened to those crazy, goofy kids. So, but we're excited the Lord's using him. But again, thank you, church, just for your faithfulness over the years, just partnering with us in this ministry. And you know, I mentioned the other day that we know that the people that receive the Word of God, that's the Word of God is going to affect them. Lord willing, again, they'll get the Word of God in their own language. You know, can I tell you this? It's important that we get people the Word of God in their heart language, okay? Not everybody needs English, okay? Because it speaks to them differently, you know? If I gave you a copy of Malagasy, and you maybe even if you learned Malagasy, it wouldn't speak to you the same as it does English, okay? And so it's important we get that to them. And, you know, Lord willing, they'll open up these scriptures. They'll be convicted of their sins, see their condition as a sinner, see their need for a Savior, and Lord willing, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. You know, no matter what, wherever you are in this world, everybody has the same need, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we're not all that different than we think we are sometimes. And so so thank you for that. You know, it's going to be exciting. I don't know if we'll hear reports from Brother Angel about it. You know, maybe sometimes we do from different missionaries, sometimes we don't. But I know one day we'll get to hear all about it. We'll get to see all about it. You know, a lot of times I share that they say that on average, seven people read one copy of Scripture. And I always think, well, that's quite an impact. Even through this project, think about the potential, how many people received the opportunity to read the Word of God through that. But sometimes I think, maybe I'm limiting God, what God can do. Who knows what God will do with these scriptures? Somebody might receive one copy of Scripture, and it might change a family for generations. You never know. It might be the next missionary, the next translator, the next great preacher through the handling of these scriptures and through the young people, through those of senior saints. You know, it's just amazing what God allows us to be a part of. And just not only that, but just it's a responsibility that we have. Not particularly seed line itself, but the responsibility, again, that we are entrusted with the gospel, with the Word of God. That's a responsibility that we have. And, you know, unfortunately, we've given that responsibility to the world over the years. Even the printing of the Word of God. Here's something to consider. 80% of the Bibles are produced in a country that I would have a very hard time getting Bibles into. Okay? And so what that tells me is, and the Bible is the most printed book in the world. unfortunately, it's for one reason. It's because of money, okay? It's not because of the souls of men. And so, again, that's a responsibility that we have as local churches, as God's people, to be the caretakers of God's word, to be those that have the responsibility to get the gospel out. So again, thank you. Thank you for doing your part. Thank you for being obedient to what God has us to do. If I could, let me give you a quick update on our ministry. It's been, I think, 2 years now that we hit a great milestone in our ministry. We've been able to print over 250 million copies of the Word of God. This past year, we are able to, of course, at Bearing Precious Seed, we print whole Bibles, New Testaments, and John and Romans, somewhere around 72 different languages that we print right now. And last year, we were able to produce 13.5 million copies of the Word of God. And so, and then just through our Seedline churches, this, our Seedline ministry, just like a church like this, we have over 300 churches across the country and some in Canada that are involved in this ministry. And just through those alone, those churches cover the cost and help us assemble 11.3 million copies. And so we praise the Lord for that. We don't take any credit for that. That's all the Lord and His people. And so we're grateful for that. So just like the network here we have to get this project done, of these few churches that are helping, it's even on a greater scale through this ministry of Seedline that we have. And so it's been a blessing to see it grow. If I could give you a prayer request, a few prayer requests, is one is that that we would see more men surrender to the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. We just lost a couple guys in our print shop. One of them is going to the field. He's been called to go to the Philippines, him and his wife. And so they're just starting deputation. So we're excited for them, but we're certainly going to miss them and certainly leave a void in our print shop. We just have a handful of men that actually work in the print shop, that run the presses. And then we need men in Seedline. We need men that are willing to do what we do, go on the road, and lead the projects and things like that. And so if you'd pray about those things, I certainly appreciate it. And also in Seedline, we're seeing a lot of growth in a lot of churches out west. And of course, there's a lot of logistics to that in many ways. And couple of the areas that are really growing is in the Pacific Northwest, getting a lot of churches in that area, and then also in the Southwest. And so we have churches as well in other parts of our country that have, we have what's kind of like a regional guy, out of a hub, like the church not only will invest in their own equipment, but they'll invest in a truck and trailer and a man in their church to kind of work with churches in those areas. And so I'm really praying that there'll be some churches in those areas out west that would really take that on. And that would be a huge blessing. We just want to see the Word of God go out and see God's people involved in it. And so it's exciting to see what God can do. You know what, I'm kind of a planner. I like to plan things ahead. But I've learned along the way that sometimes I need to get out of the way of God and let Him do it His way. And so I'm learning that. So if you pray for me about that, I'd appreciate that. But we're excited to be here this week. Always love being here and at Bethel, and just really got to get to know a lot of the folks in your church and in other churches. And it's we always look forward to it. Really excited about your upcoming Missions Emphasis Month. And I think it is a great way to start Missions Emphasis Month, is getting prepared, just thinking about, just again, this responsibility that we have and to get the gospel out. One of the great needs we have, as I mentioned in the prayer request that I gave you, is laborers. And certainly laborers is something that is needed. How many of us know that we should pray for laborers? All right, a lot of hands up. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand for this, how many of us actually pray for laborers? Can I tell you this? This is something that I've learned that I have a struggle with. I'm pretty good about praying for the laborers. I think that's awesome that you guys have a list there to pray for the missionaries and things like that. And I thought, you know, I'm good at praying for like your pastor and other pastors that I know and other missionaries that I know. And, you know, just praying for those that are out there laboring. But can I tell you what I'm not always the best at is praying for more laborers. And maybe just a thought tonight, maybe to add that to your list on there, just with all those missionaries, that God would provide more laborers. And that's a great need tonight. We're actually going to be in Matthew chapter 9 tonight. So, again, a very familiar text to us. And again, something the Lord showed me in this text that I'd love to share with you. And you know what? You know what the greatest missionary has ever been? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul was amazing. He was, but there was nobody like Jesus Christ. And when we look at his ministry, his earthly ministry here, there's a lot of examples that he gave to us. And personally, as I read and I look at his earthly ministry, there's things that he did. There's actions that he took that I tried to take and apply them to my life. Okay, and that's what I want to look at tonight as we have an opportunity to look at again, I know a familiar verse, a familiar text to us that Jesus, there was some actions that he did that I think tonight that we could apply to our lives to help us to actually do better at praying for more laborers. Okay? So let's read the text tonight, and we'll get into it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, and let's start in verse 35. You would stand for the reading of God's word tonight. It says this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we do thank you for yourself. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the privilege we have to be a child of God, Lord. Again, we thank you for all of the blessings that come with that. Thank you for the blessing of service. Thank you for a great week we've had of not just fellowship, but just to have an opportunity to labor for you and for what a great cause that somebody can receive the word of God in their language. Father, we pray that our labor this week has not been in vain. Father, we pray that God, that much fruit would come of it. And God, we pray that we would not take any glory from you for it. Lord, help us to realize we're just vessels being used by you, Lord. And your word and your Holy Spirit will do the work. And Father, we pray, God, that would do the work. And Father, as we have an opportunity to meet tonight, Lord, I pray that despite me, despite my inaccuracies, Lord, that God, that we would hear from you and you alone. And God, your word would speak to our hearts tonight. God, it would challenge us, Lord, that we would leave differently. We would be challenged to, in this area specifically, as we talk about praying for laborers, praying for more laborers, as you've asked us to. Father, we thank you again. We pray that you'd receive all the glory for it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, as we look at the text tonight, I would love us to look at, first of all, in verse 35, it says that we can see that he was busy. Really, if I could say it this way, he was busy doing the things that you would expect Jesus to be doing in his earthly ministry. It says here that he was teaching, he was preaching the gospel He was healing. And again, really doing those things you would be really to be expecting, as you've read the scriptures, doing the things that you expect Jesus to be doing, as the good shepherd does. One of the things that I notice in here as well is that it says that he went to all the cities and villages. You know, as I read that, you know what I'm reminded of? That the gospel is for everybody. It's not just for some people, but it's for everybody. I was telling Pastor Ross, I think today at lunch, that we had an opportunity to do a scripture distribution in northern Italy. And we went to a couple big missionary there doing some Bible scripture distribution. And, you know, when you're in a big city, there's a lot of people. And you can get a lot of scripture out. You know, you really don't get an opportunity to really speak to them because I don't know Italian, I don't know German. That was the two main languages right there. But we're getting the gospel to them. We're getting it in their hands, and it's like it's going quickly. You're emptying boxes. It's like, man, I'm really making a lot of progress, you know. And they said, we got a lot of that done. We spent a lot of time doing that. And then they said, hey, we're going to go up in the mountains. I'm like, well, that's great. We're going to the mountains. they said there's villages up there. And you can see the mountains all around you. It's you're in the Alps. And we would take like 35, 40 minutes just to drive to a village of like 20 people. You know, I'm like, this is taking a lot of our time. But you know what? After I thought about it, I was like, they need the gospel too. I mean, that's what Jesus did. It didn't matter to him. He took the time to do it. So again, I see that I'm reminded that the gospel is for all. Again, in verse 35, we see this, seeing what Jesus, what you'd expect him to be doing, teaching, preaching the gospel, healing. But then we see this word here in verse 36. What's that first word? It says what? It says, but. That's something to get our attention. And it goes on to say this. It says, but when he saw. And so we begin to see the first action that he takes here is, it says here, he saw. It says he saw the multitudes. That means he saw a large amount of people, a great amount of people, an indefinite, more than you could just count like that, okay? So there was a multitude of people. And that what that tells me, and that should tell you tonight, is that we need to take the time and see the multitudes. Can I ask you this tonight? Do you see the multitudes? Do you see those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Those that are bound to hell? Do you see the multitudes? I want you to consider this tonight. Those that live on your street, those that are on your neighbors, that we drive by every day, by their house all the time, how do you portray them? Do you see them as those that need the gospel? Here's a hard one. How about when we turn the TV on and we see the things going on in this world and we see people on the news don't think like us and they don't look like us and we certainly don't agree with the things that they are doing. And so a lot of times what do? We just kind of like, can I tell you, even though what we look at is the result of their sin, but what they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what they need. Can I tell you this tonight? I'm all about making America great again, but I'm more concerned about making his kingdom great. How about as we go out and go to the grocery store, the Walmart store? You know, a lot of times we walk in there, we got our list, we got our tasks to do, but as we do it, we walk by so many people. So many faces, so many people. We don't even look at them sometimes. We don't even look at them in the eye, do we? We just kind of walk by and try to get the things done that we're supposed to, that we've got on our list, and move on. You know what one of the biggest distractions is in this world is this thing right here. A lot of times I've even caught myself, I've literally just been looking at things walking by somebody. How about the missionary when he comes and presents his work and shows his video, and Do you see the multitudes there? Do you see those that he's trying to reach? Do you realize this? As a lot of times we do this, we put a missionary, we point them on a country, and I think sometimes we're expecting that one missionary to reach that whole country. But can I tell you that? There's still multitudes of lost people in those countries. And we'd be praying that God would provide more laborers. How about the statistics of people groups that don't have a Bible in their language? Over 6,500 people groups that don't have a Bible and no messenger to tell them. The maps of countries where missionaries, you know, as we put up maps and things like that, do you consider all those that are there that still need to hear the gospel? I can tell you this, Brother Angel is probably not going to reach the whole country of Madagascar. There's still multitudes. And so do you see the multitudes? Do you see the multitudes like Jesus does? I think that's the problem sometimes. We need to consider the great need that there is. Our ministry of Bearing Precious Seed, we used to print scriptures down in a property in El Paso, Texas. And with the web presses that we have now in Milford, Ohio, it just didn't make sense to print there. We can do it all there. But we have this property, and we use it for so people can take short-term mission trips. And what happens is you can go down there and stay in El Paso, Texas, and assemble scriptures just like you would here, like we're doing this week. And you take those scriptures, and you take and over, go right over the border into Juarez, Mexico, and work with local pastors over there. And they kind of get you lined up to distribute scriptures and invite people to the local park for an evangelistic meeting. And it's the greatest. People get saved, and the kids have puppet shows, and the kids get saved. And it's a great week. But just like anything else, and just like we started the project, I don't want to do anything that without asking God's help in it. And so just like down there, we go down, we start the week off with asking the Lord to help us. And where we do that is up in the mountain. And it's very interesting. We all hop in the vans and the buses. And, you know, as you do that, you see a couple people on the street there, and you kind of head up out in the mountains, and you get a little bit higher in the mountains, and you see more streets with more people. And you start to see almost all of, a good part of El Paso. And then by the time you get to the very top, it's getting about dusk out there. It's getting dark out. And you see almost all of El Paso and a good part of Juarez, Mexico. And you see, honestly, you see, it looks like millions of house lights. And you know that each of those represents not just a person, but a family or families that need the gospel. And honestly, when you're up there looking at it and you consider that, it's very overwhelming. Especially when there's just a group of you. Like, how much are we going to get accomplished? But can I tell you, that's what Jesus sees. He sees the whole picture. He sees a whole world that needs one to Christ. We need to see the multitudes like Jesus does. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion. So again, we see the second action that he took, that he not only did he see, saw them, but he was moved with compassion, that he was moved. He was moved with compassion. That means he felt something sympathetic, that there's something inside of him that moved him, that was something in his gut. That's what that word compassion means, that you feel something. It did something inside of him. Can I ask you this tonight? When's the last time you saw somebody in a troubling situation, that it did something to you inside, that it moved you with compassion, so much with sympathy that it did something in your gut? Have you ever felt so much for somebody that it did that to you? It really just honestly changed you physically, that maybe emotionally, that it did something to you. Can I ask you this tonight? What moves you to have compassion on someone? You know what? For me, I've found out that it takes seeing somebody physically or visually, seeing somebody going through a situation. I'm reminded of one of our Sea Line churches a couple years ago. The pastor's wife was going through cancer. And pastor called told me this before we got there. She's like, yeah, she's been going through the treatments and things like that. And we got to the church, and we're in the project. She came, and you could tell that she'd been through the chemo. She lost her hair and all this stuff. But she was there working on the scriptures. And then we got into the second day of the project, she wasn't there that day. We stopped to have lunch, middle of the project. We're sitting with the pastor, and this lady comes up, very excited, very anxious. She just said, I see Miss Sally's not here today. Is Miss Sally okay? Is there anything that I can do for Miss Sally? And she just kept going on and on. And I thought, man, this lady really has compassion for Miss Sally. But you know why? Because she knew her. She saw what she was going through and all these things, and she had compassion on her. And I think there's something we can see here from Scripture that there's something about actually looking and visually seeing somebody and understanding. You know, a lot of times when we talk about this condition of sin, we don't actually visually see it, but we know that it's inside of them, right? That sin is there, and we should, as we look at people and if they have not given us a testimony of salvation, we should just consider that they have a great need. And that need is Jesus Christ. But there is something in Scriptures here that we can see that there's something about seeing somebody and having compassion on them. Would you listen to me here? Matthew 14, verse 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Mark 6, verse 34 says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Luke 7, verse 13 says, and when he saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. In Luke 10, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as the journeyed, came where he saw, and when he saw him, what? He had compassion on him. Luke 15, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can I tell you tonight, if we were actually looking for lost souls, I believe this, that we would have compassion on them. If we were actually looking for lost souls, we would have compassion on them. You know, as Jesus here at what exactly is it that Jesus sees here? You know, I don't believe it's their physical sickness that he's talking about, because we already saw that he was taking the time to heal a lot of their physical needs. It wasn't their physical sickness, it was their spiritual sickness. He saw that they were lost. How do we know that? What does Jesus say next? He says in verse 36, it says, because they fainted. Because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. My father-in-law, he was a farmer, and he was kind of getting out of it a lot when I got to meet him. But when I first met him and went to the farm there in Pennsylvania, he had sheep there. And for a while, I got to learn a little bit of things about sheep. And here are some of the things that I've learned. I learned that sheep need direction, okay? Sheep need someone to take care of them. If I could say it kindly, sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. In fact, they're pretty dumb, I'd be honest. And they tend to follow each other. You know, they tend to get lost. And what I found out is, man, They're just a troublesome group of animals, and what they need is a shepherd. Can I tell you what this world needs? This world needs the shepherd. It needs the Lord Jesus Christ to lead them to the shepherd. He saw. He was moved with compassion. The third action that I see that I took is then he said, or then saith he. And as I read this, it's, I read this not as a, this wasn't a some kind of epiphany to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it's an example for us. It's something he obviously he already knew, but it's us as tribute as an example. It says this, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Can I tell you tonight, we need to realize that there is a world that needs one to Christ. But here's the problem, the laborers are few. We need to realize it. We need to plan about it. We need to strategize that. Most of all, we need to pray about it, as the Lord has asked us to do. 10 years ago, I was kind of talking a little about going out west there. 10 years ago, we started having churches wanting to get involved in Sea Line in California. Now, California is a long way from Ohio, okay? It takes 34 hours to get there if you're going to drive there pretty fast, okay? I can't do any quicker, okay? Anyways, that's a long way from here. Never been to California. These churches want to get involved in California. I was like, do I really want to go to California? I don't know about your opinion about people in California. No offense, AJ, but I've heard a lot of things about people in California. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to go out there. But here's what I realized when I got there. I realized this, that, you know, a lot of California is like agricultural. A lot of it's rural. And I've, with the ministry, I've been able to travel literally all northern, southern, and all in between. Well, I feel like I've traveled every road in California. And as you travel those roads, you realize that there's a lot of agricultural, a lot of small towns, a lot of great churches, by the way. And there's a lot of fields of, especially in Northern California, there is a lot of orchards. I mean, I'm talking about a lot of trees, okay? A lot of orchards. You could drive for miles and miles, just like you'd go to Iowa or parts of Indiana, and there's just like corn and soybean forever. It's like there, it's like orchards, it's like, you know, miles and miles, and you look down the row, and the row goes down for a mile that way. And I'd be there, like, in the late summer and in the fall, and I was like, how in the world are they going to get all of these trees picked? Well, you know what? You show up there, and harvest time, and guess who all comes out? The laborers. The laborers. The laborers with the right equipment. The laborers with the right equipment. But laborers come out. What exactly is a laborer? Well, it's just someone willing to work, right? Someone that's willing to do the work. I like this definition of a laborer. A laborer is a person doing a unskilled work for wages. Doing a unskilled work for wages. You know why I like that? Because I think, man, that's what the Lord's looking for. You know, you've heard this cliche before. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And here's what I found out is when you surrender to the Lord to do his work, to be a laborer, he provides that skill for you. You know, as I went to California and I realized that a lot of it's agricultural. You know what else, too? I've been to the big cities. I've been to Los Angeles. I've been to San Francisco. I've been to Sacramento. You know what I noticed there? That the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's a harvest of souls there that need one to Christ. Just like those fields of orchards, just miles and miles of people that are lost and need to know about Jesus Christ. There's a harvest field. But here's the problem. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What do you say? Do you say that there is a need for laborers? John 4, verse 35 says, say not ye, listen to this, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, listen to this, it says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. You know what I love? I love seeing laborers. I love coming to church like this. We sang that one song. I'm like, that's the theme song of this church right here. Work till Jesus comes. I mean, that's this church right here. This could be your theme song. I mean, I love going to churches where I don't have to motivate. People want to work with their hands dirty. They want to do what it takes to get the job done. Laborers. We need laborers. And so we see three actions that Jesus took. Again, that he saw, he was moved, and then he said, and realized again as an example for us. And so I see these three actions that prompted him to give the disciples an action to do. And what was that action? It was to pray. To pray. And verse 38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into harvest. I think about a church like this, and because I'm kind of the same way how you guys are. The very first thing he tells them to do is pray. Now, I know how you guys are, and I know how I am. And if I see a need, I just want to hop in and do it. Like, let's just go do it. Let's just go and get it done. And, you know, Brother Chad Gordon was helping me the other day, and I know that's how he is. He's just going to go and get it done and do the next thing. And that's awesome. That's kind of how I am, too. And so I find it very interesting that Jesus says, I want you to pray. That's the first thing I want you. We see in the next chapter, they do that, right? In chapter 10, he says to pray. And I thought about that. And I believe if I could say it this way, he's saying, boys, you're not going to get it done on your own. Okay? Appreciate the effort. Appreciate the thought. But you're not going to get this done on your own. You need to start off by praying. Praying for more laborers, praying for those that could come help with this. And I think that's what he desires us to do, is to, before we get too involved in it and get part of the task, is that we need to pray for more laborers. You know, we're going to get a lot done this week. We're going to get 125,000 giant Romans done, and that's a lot of scripture. But there's millions, billions still waiting. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Bethel Baptist Church and every other church is going to help. We're going to do our part, but we're not going to reach the whole world on our own. And so we need to pray for more laborers. And we're not the ones going to Madagascar, and we're not the ones going there, other places. So we need to be praying for more laborers. Again, I mentioned before, I'm good about praying for the laborers, but we need to be praying for more laborers. We need to be, again, we need those that be willing to give the gospel to the multitudes. Those on the neighbors on their street, those we see on TV, those in countries where there's no missionary, and whole unreached people groups. And so again, I see this example, these actions that Jesus took that I believe we could take and apply to our own lives here, that we could use, again, to see the multitudes. I really think it's where it starts. Folks, we are so busy. We are so task-oriented sometimes. We need to take the time to see the multitudes, those in our area, those in other areas of the world, to see the multitudes. And when we do that, that should affect us. I think when we see them and see what they're going through, we understand that their condition as someone that's destined to hell, that should do something to us. It should move us with compassion. And then we should want to do something about it, right? And it should make us say, boy, the harvest is truly plenteous. But here's the problem. The laborers are few. And then, you know what we're going to do? We're going to see the great need that there is. We're going to see that we can't do it on our own. And it should desire us to get us on our knees to be praying. Praying for laborers. Praying for more laborers. Can I tell you this tonight as we sit here and services and do our things here, that the devil's laborers are out there working. You know, that same trip I was out in Italy that when I was just talking about, I was driving around this little roundabouts, and I dropped off my group. I was driving around. This guy's waving me down. I'm like, okay, I'll give a guy a John Roman here. Stop. He pulls out his phone. He says, start showing me these videos, like these little short videos on YouTube or something. And I couldn't figure out what it was at first. You know what it was? He was trying to convert me from Catholicism to Islam. Yeah. Folks, they're out there. The devil's laborers are out there. And so my challenge to you tonight is to lift up your eyes and willing to look onto the fields, for they are white as harvest. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Again, thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house. Thank you for the privilege we've had so far this week to do our part. Lord, God, we thank you for the labors. I thank you for these labors. Father, I would say this too, as we pray for more labors, it would be wrong for us to ask you to be a laborer, for us to be willing to be a laborer, whether that's here in the local church or on the mission field or at our work when we're talking about doing your work. Father, I pray, God, that you would challenge us tonight to open our eyes, Lord, see these multitudes all around us, all around the world. Consider the great need that there is. Lord, I pray, God, it would do something inside of us. It would stir us up. Want to do something about it. Realize that there's a great need. And God, follow your example to take these actions and to, first of all, pray for laborers. God, help us tonight, Lord. We thank you again. In Christ's name.